Desert Island Discs. Each week, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a virtuoso of an unusual instrument. Unusual at any rate in the concert hall. It's the harmonica or mouth organ, and here is Tommy Riley. Tommy, do you think you're temperamentally suited for a desert island existence?
Yes, I think so.
You do?
Yes, I think so. I don't think I'd like it very much, but I've always been a bit of a lone wolf, you know. I think I'd get on all right.
Mm. Do you play the gramophone a lot at home?
Not a lot. I like to play the gramophone when I can sit down and listen to it.
And you don't have time for that?
No, thank goodness.
Did you find it a difficult job choosing your 8 records for your exile?
Well, for being a castaway on Nile, yes, because I thought I've got to live with these 8 records, so it really was not a very easy job.
How did you set about it?
Well, I picked the records that reminded me of good things in my life. I didn't want to pick the ones that reminded me of not such good things.
So you're going to look back to the past. What's the first one you've chosen?
Well, the first one is the first movement of the Mendelssohn Italian Symphony.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, it's been a favourite of mine for quite some time. It's also a family favourite at home. We play it because it cheers us all up.
Opening of Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony, Guido Cantelli conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. What's your second choice, Tommy?
Well, I thought that I would like to have something which reminded me of France, Paris in particular. So I've chosen a little accordion number which seems to me very typical of Paris.
Maurice Lacange and his accordion, a French waltz, Soirée Romantique. Tommy, you're a Canadian, aren't you?
Yes, I was born in Canada, in Ontario.
Do you come from a musical family?
Yes, on my father's side. My father was a graduate of Kneller Hall.
Was he?
Yes, very fine musician.
So your musical training came pretty early?
Yes, I began on the violin first when I was very young, and then I took up the harmonica and I learned it so quickly I just couldn't be bothered slogging away at the violin.
And when did you give your first professional performance?
Not until I came to England. You see, my father had a big harmonica band in Canada.
Yes.
And in the beginning, I couldn't play the harmonica, so I thought I'd learn so I could join the band, which I did.
Mm.
Well, you see, he came to England because he was offered the musical director of the harmonica movement in England before the war, so I came with him.
Yes.
And then I turned professional in 1936. I didn't do very much with it. And in 1937, I had an offer to go to the continent. I went there, and I lived there for 2 years, playing in, I think, 5 or 6 different countries, in and out.
In variety and nightclubs?
Yes, variety, nightclubs, cabarets, concerts, everything.
And what was the next step?
The next step wasn't such a good step, because I was playing in Leipzig, and just before the war broke out, I was arrested by the Gestapo there, and put in a Gestapo prison for a while. That wasn't very nice. However, I was taken from there to a prison camp, and I was in 5 different camps during the war for 5 years, 8 months.
A long spell. Was it very bad, Tommy?
Conditions weren't good at all. We only had 1 meal a day and sort of 8 men to a loaf of bread. It wasn't too good. But I must say that when people do say there's 5 years out of your life, I don't look on it as that. I think it's 5 years part of my life. I learnt an awful lot there about people. I learnt an awful lot about myself. Yes. And, of course, as far as my playing goes, it was a boon in some ways.
You were able to play the harmonica?
Well, yes. I managed to do a little business with a German welfare officer, and he got me harmonicas from the German harmonica factory. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky.
You gave concerts?
I gave concerts, and if they didn't have an instrument in the orchestra, like an oboe or clarinet, I used to play the part on my harmonica, which was a very big help to me later on.
Good for your sight reading.
Oh, excellent. Absolutely good.
And after the war?
Well, I came home. I didn't do very well when I first came back to England. And then I got an engagement with a summer show, which is quite famous in England, called Twinkle.
Oh, Clarks and Roses Twinkle, yeah.
Clarks and Roses Twinkle. And there, the greatest thing happened to me. I met my wife.
Uh-huh.
We were married.
And that was the turning point?
Well, it was the turning point as far as my life went, I suppose, but things didn't go as far as business went so good after that. But fortunately for me, my wife was working steadily, and I don't mind telling you that she kept me for the next 3 years.
Good for her, until things began to settle down.
Yes, she did.
You reached where you reached now. Well, let's break off here, Tommy, and have record number 3.
This takes us, in a way, back to Canada. Fritz Kreisler playing the Schön Rosmarin. Why I say that is because when I was playing violin, I entered for a music festival, you see, and in this particular piece of music, as you'll hear, there's a lot of bouncing bow, and I was never any good at this. But when I went on the stage, I was so terribly nervous that I did the most beautiful bouncing bow you've ever heard. I couldn't keep it still.
Fritz Kreisler and his bouncing bow, Schön Rosmarin. Tommy, as well as the light music for which the harmonica is best known, you also play serious works which have been specially written for the instrument.
Yes, I play a lot of serious music on the harmonica. As a matter of fact, the first harmonica concerto that was written and performed in Europe was written for me by Michael Spivakovsky. It was commissioned by the BBC for the Festival of Britain.
Yes. Who else is written for?
There's quite a number of people. Malcolm Arnold, Gordon Jacob, Vaughan Williams, Matthias Schieber, and several continental composers. But the best harmonica music in the world, strangely enough, has been written by English composers.
Mm-hmm. You compose yourself, don't you?
Yes, I write mainly background music, you know, for television, films, radio.
Yes. Well, the solo harmonica makes a very useful background. It's also a very economical one, isn't
it? Yes, I suppose it is. A harmonica can sound like a whole orchestra at times.
Which background jobs are you happiest about?
Well, the most interesting to me was last year when Dmitry Tiomkin heard some of my recordings at a friend's house in California, and he came especially to England to record the soundtrack to the Warner Brothers pictures, The Sundowners.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we hear you every week on the Navy Lock.
Yes. I suppose the best known one of all, though, is the music I play for Dixon of Dock Green.
Well, one way or another, we hear a great deal more of you than we realise, because we never bother to, at least a lot of people don't bother to look at the credits and see who's doing what all the time.
Well, there's one job I did. I don't think I got a credit for it, but I think I can honestly say I'm the only harmonica player who ever played with Gigli.
Really?
Yes. I had a telephone call from the manager of the London Symphony Orchestra asking if I would come and do a session at Kingsway Hall. Well, I arrived there about a quarter of an hour before the session. He gave me a piece of music. It was an Italian folk waltz. And it was terribly difficult, you see, and I had to learn it in about 10 minutes. Anyway, I was told that Gigli was making records and I was going to play on the record. Anyway, I learnt this piece of music, and he finished his first piece, and I went in to meet him. I was introduced to him, and he said, where is your harmonica? So I showed him my harmonica, and he said, no, I don't mean that. He said, I mean accordion, you see. So the manager nearly fainted, because obviously he'd made a mistake in the booking through the Italian word for harmonica and accordion. Anyway, Gigli said, well, we'll hear it on your harmonica. So I played it, and he looked at his Italian conductor and said, all right, he said, we'll use your harmonica. So I'm on his record.
Splendid. Well, let's have record number 4 of your choice now. What is it?
Well, it's Dorothy Squire singing Tree in the Meadow.
Why do you choose this?
Well, I choose this purely from sentimental reasons, I suppose. It's the tune that was very popular when I met my wife. It means quite a lot to me.
There's a tree in the meadow with a stream drifting by. Carved upon that tree I see I love you till I die. I shall always remember the love in your eyes. The day you carved upon that tree, I love you till I die.
Dorothy Squire's singing A Tree in the Meadow. Now, Tommy, we were talking about the harmonica. About the instrument itself, how old an instrument is it?
Well, it goes back, I think it was invented about 1830 by a toy maker in Germany in the Black Forest. He used to, in the winter, make toys and harmonicas. In the summer, he would travel from one village to the next selling them. Well, he sold so many harmonicas that he gave up making toys and made only harmonicas. And now, of course, there's an enormous factory there that turn over, I suppose, about 20 million a year.
20 million a year. There are many different sizes. You can have one more or less any length you like.
Well, yes, there's dozens of different kinds of harmonicas, but the big ones you see are usually only used in bands or groups. Mm. You see, shortly after the harmonica was invented, only the nobility of the land and the rich people could afford them, because they were made sometimes of solid gold and silver and hand-carved ivory.
Yes. Do you use specially made ones?
No, I wish there was a specially made one. There aren't any. The ones I use are the same as you can buy in the shop. There aren't any better.
Yes. What range does it have?
3 octaves, 12 holes.
How long does an instrument last you?
Normally about a week, but if you're playing a concerto, you can count on it being finished by the time you've finished it.
Yes, yeah, so then what happens? The reeds go.
It loses its resonance.
Mm-hmm. So you have to travel a big supply of instruments.
I take quite a few with me.
Yes. What are your plans at the moment? What are you going to do next?
Well, I'm going to the continent shortly to play a new concerto written by a German composer in Hanover, and the Romanian Fantasy by Francis Chagrin.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's stop here and have record number 5. What next, Tommy?
I've chosen a Jewish wedding dance.
Mm. Why have you chosen that?
Well, I'm very fond of folk music. I like it very much because it's so very descriptive. It tells a story probably better than any other music I know.
Thank you.
Mickey Katz and his orchestra playing a Jewish wedding dance, which brings us to number 6.
Well, I've chosen Shirley Bassey singing You'll Never Know.
Once again, why?
Well, because Shirley Bassey, to me, is such a vibrant character in the entertainment world. She's got the magic of the business, and I don't know, her voice just does something to me.
I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care.
Shirley Bassey singing You'll Never Know. Now, Tommy, you said that temperamentally you think you'd be able to cope with being a castaway. How good would you be practically looking after yourself?
Well, I don't suppose I'm much of a handyman, but I think with the years I spent in a prison camp in Germany would stand me in good stead on an island.
I'm sure they would. Any hobbies that might be useful? Do you fish or anything like that?
I used to fish as a boy in Canada, so I dare say I might catch one or two.
Mm. Could you build a boat or a raft?
I wouldn't even try. I'd be terrified to take it out to sea.
I think you're right. Let's get back to music. What's number 7?
Yasha Heifetz playing banjo and fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I played violin as a boy in Canada, he was always my idol. I still think even today he's the greatest violinist in the world.
Yasha Heifetz playing banjo and fiddle. And now we come to your last one.
As my last record, I'd like to hear from Der Rosenkavalier, the closing duet sung by Elizabeth Schumann and Maria Olszewska.
Why?
Well, I'm very, very fond of this part of the opera because one of the fellows in the prison camp had a gramophone and he had this particular record. And I don't know, it's got a soothing quality about it. You sort of feel, well, let the rest of the world go by. It's a lovely thing.
Elizabeth Schumann and Maria Olszewska singing the closing duet from Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier. You haven't chosen any of your own records, Tommy?
No, I did that on purpose because you said I could have a luxury.
Yes?
And naturally, for me, my luxury is going to be my harmonica.
You better have a crate of harmonicas, as you say they don't last very long. Out of these records you've chosen, if you could only have one, which would it be?
Well, I really think I'd choose A Tree in the Meadow.
Mm. And you're allowed one book apart from the Bible and Shakespeare.
Well, for me that's quite easy. I'd like a big picture book of the nice parts of England, because I'm very pro-English and very pro-England. Funny thing, when I was a boy, I can't explain it. I don't know why, but I just knew that I wanted to live in England.
Yes, and when you got here, it was up to your expectations.
The countryside is still up to my expectations. I must tell you, though, that shortly after I arrived here and turned professional, my first date was at the Queen's Theatre in Poplar.
Down in the East End?
Down the East End, and I got on a bus somewhere in London, I can't remember where now, and I said to the conductor, does this bus go to Poplar? Well, where I come from in southern Ontario, you can cut the accent with a knife. I've lost a lot of it now. And anyway, he couldn't understand what I was talking about, so he said, spell it. So I spelled it for him. He said, yes, son. He said, go upstairs. So he came upstairs to collect my fare, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, son, he said, you've been going to the pictures too much.
Well, with that, I've no doubt you felt that you'd been accepted as part of the London scene.
I think so.
And thank you, Tommy Riley, for letting us hear your choice
of
Desert Island Discs. Goodbye, everyone.